And I want to introduce our speaker this morning. You know, this is Carla Diggs. Y'all see her every week up here. And everybody loves Carla. And Carla has done a phenomenal job. She's been teaching a Bible study that she wrote herself on Monday nights here at New Beginnings. Our ladies come out for that. It's been phenomenal. Carla has been a school teacher for how many years? 17 years, and just left teaching and is now on our staff full time. And we're so excited because she's smiling all the time. It's good to have somebody smiling all the time and able to lift me up because I'm always down, you know. This kid. Let's pray for Carla as she prepares to bring us the word. Father, we just pray a blessing over Carla today, an anointing, God, to use her. I know that, God, you look for willing vessels, and God, I know she's a willing vessel. You have given her a great word, and God, we are delighted and can't wait to hear it and put it into practice in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Amen and amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Eddie, for the privilege of sharing today, allowing me to share today. You know, it's no small feat for a pastor to say, you know what, I'm going to sit down here today and I'm going to let someone else preach the message. So I do not take it lightly. I never take lightly preaching God's word, because this word is alive and it's active and it's a double-edged sword. And when we can understand the promises and when we can gather those verses in our heart, as I told my ladies Monday night, you can use it as a weapon against the enemy. And that's my heart's desire today, that I can stand here and deliver to you the word that God has given to me. There is no pressure here, because this is just the word he gave to me, that you can use it as a two-edged sword in your life this week, that no matter what comes against you, that you know that you will prevail and that you will receive the promises and the blessings of God's word, because his word never returns void. Amen? Amen. That wasn't the sermon. That was just something, I don't know. Sometimes I just start talking. You can ask my ladies on Monday night, and I just start going, and I'm like, wait, let me go back to my notes. Let's see what we were talking about. Today, we are going to talk about how do we respond to the daily invitation from Jesus. Each day when you wake up, you have an invitation that you receive from Jesus, and you have a decision that you can make. You can accept the invitation, or you can decline the invitation. It's just like receiving a beautiful wedding invitation in the mail. Aren't weddings amazing? They are a covenant bond between a bride and a groom, and they are just waiting and anticipating your response. And they love going to the mailbox and getting those RSVPs in the mail where you're saying, yes, I'm coming. I'm coming to see what the Lord is going to do in your life. Weddings are beautiful things. You know, God loves weddings too. From the beginning of his word all the way to the end, you can just open it up anywhere, and you can see that God loves weddings. He began the creation of time with the marriage of Adam and Eve. Later, we find Esther, who marries a king and is granted access to the king's court. And we know at the end of the book, he is coming back to get his bride, right? God loves weddings. So isn't it apropos that Jesus performed his first miracle at a wedding? Today, we are going to learn how to RSVP our miracle. How are you going to respond to this daily invitation that Jesus gives to you? You know, as we read this story in just a moment, for a few seconds, I pulled myself back and I began thinking about Mary. And I began thinking about all of the years that Mary waited for Jesus to just come out and say, I am the Messiah. She knew it from the time that the angel came, but she was waiting, I can't imagine, for something huge and big and glorious to happen, right? So for this to be his first miracle, I can imagine that Mary probably sat back and said, wait, this is it? You're going to turn water to wine? How about cast out a demon? Hold on, I got something. You can raise somebody from the dead. Oh, maybe you could do this. But you know what? God loves weddings. And he loves his bride. And so to perform his first miracle at a wedding is what we are going to look at today. And though I can't always give the reason to why this place or why this miracle, I do know that God moves in ways to show who he is. We may not know the why, but we know the who, right? So how will we respond to him daily? If you turn to John chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, John chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, we're going to read this very short story today, but it is packed with some amazing, amazing lessons. So many, I had to trim them out because, you know, we got to have a second service, right? But John chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." And nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." And they did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and the disciples believed in him. This text is so rich with so many lessons just in 11 short verses. A powerful display of the mystery of God, and yet simple enough to pull out life lessons that we can apply to our everyday life. First of all, I want you to realize that everyone receives an invitation. In John 2, verses 1 through 2, it says, "On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee, and Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding." Don't you love that Jesus was invited to the wedding? He wasn't considered the party pooper. He was invited to the wedding. I love that. But your invitation comes in John 3:16. We all know this verse. We're familiar with this verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." You may not realize it, but every day you receive an invitation from Jesus Christ because you are the whoever. You are the whoever in your invitation to the marriage with Jesus. And then once you receive your invitation, you can decide how you respond. In Revelation 3:20, it says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." So you don't have to open the door to your heart. You can treat them like the Avon lady. Just hide behind the sofa and peek over. Or that Jehovah's Witness that possibly comes to the door. You can invite them on in. "Come on, let's have a conversation. You want to talk about salvation? So do I." But you receive an invitation, and you have an opportunity of how to respond to the invitation. The title of this message is RSVP, Your Miracle. How many of you need a miracle in your life today? Come on, you need a miracle? I know I need a miracle. We all need a miracle in our life. One of the first lessons that I learned from this passage of how do I respond to Jesus is, number one, I'm going to recognize that Jesus is always working on my behalf. Look at John chapter 2, verse 7. Jesus said to the servant, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Without the knowledge, the bride and groom had no knowledge that these things were going on, that the wine was about to run out. And you might think, well, that's not really that important. Why did they really need to know that? But it's significant because Jesus was working on their behalf so that they didn't have to face the shame of being known as the wedding that ran out of wine. He is working on your behalf. Because in those moments when you give up your wine or your joy, when you allow the enemy to come in and steal your joy, he fills you with shame. But Jesus says, no, I worked for you. I worked on the cross for you. I'm working behind the scenes and on your behalf because I have some joy. I have some wine that's going to overflow in your life. Not just to the brim, but overflowing, overflowing. You see, in Genesis 2, 24 through 25, Jesus knew that this shame could be something that could loom over your life. And it says, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they became one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. At the beginning of the word, he could have placed anything there, and they felt no sorrow, and they felt no unbelief, and they felt no... But he specifically used the word shame because he knew that he could be the one to fill you with the joy. Jesus is already working on your behalf. Could you imagine this wedding running out of wine? And could you see the church ladies on Sunday morning? Well, did you go on over to that wedding? Did you see that they ran out of wine? Shame on them. Shame on them. We got to be careful, church ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about. But imagine the beginning of a beautiful marriage, the beginning of a covenant. Jesus doesn't want you starting with shame. That's why he did the work for you on the cross. When you say yes to Jesus and you have a marriage relationship with him, he wants to pour joy in your life. You're not filled with shame anymore. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. You have been forgiven. And as I love the theme of this church, it's a fresh start. No more shame, no more bondages. You see, you may feel that you're not worthy. Maybe your jar is a little cracked. Maybe it's got a few holes. Maybe it looks a little worthless on the outside. But God is not worried about what your jar looks like. He's worried about what you're carrying. And if you said yes to Jesus, you are carrying the power of his Spirit inside of you. So you can straighten yourself and put your shoulders back and your head up, knowing there is no shame in your life, but that the joy of the wine of Jesus has filled you and it's overflowing. Hallelujah. Always recognize that Jesus is working on your behalf. And in Romans 8:28, Pastor just did an amazing series on Pathway to Victory teaching in the book of Romans. And Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. He is working all of those things that you've been through in the past, all the things that you're facing today. There is no shame. It's filled with joy because he's about to work something good on your behalf. Do you understand that? You have to claim it. You have to speak his word over it because something good is about to happen. So recognize that Jesus is working on your behalf, just like he was working for this bride and groom who had no clue what they were about to face, what they could have faced. Another way to respond to Jesus, our S, is to say yes to Jesus no matter what he asks you to do. In John 2, verse 5, his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. You see, Mary is facing Jesus, and Jesus says, wait, this my hour has not come. She didn't even listen to that. You know how mothers are? Excuses about why we didn't clean their room or why they did. She just turned to the servants. Whatever he says. It doesn't matter the whatever column, you do it. Whatever is used to emphasize a lack of restriction in referring to anything or amount, no matter what. He desires that we do whatever he asks us to. Don't you agree? Nike got it right. Just do it. They ain't even know. Just do it. That's all you need to know. But the opposite is also true. Don't do what he tells you not to do, right? It's kind of like a game, I guess, of Simon Says. Simon Says, do this. If he doesn't say, don't do it. Because I'm going to tell you, obedience is a key. In 1 Samuel 15, this isn't going to be up on the screen because I just added this morning. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is the key to unlocking what he has for you. In the NIV Bible, the word obey or obedience is used 220 times. You think it's important? 220 times. In 2 John 1:6, it says, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his command. When we love him, we can say yes to whatever he asks you to do. And let me tell you, sometimes he asks you to do some unusual things. If you think back in the word, Moses, our stutterer, said, yes, I'm going to be a public speaker. Noah said, yes, I will build a boat in the desert. Israel, yes, we will play worship music before our battle. Sometimes he asks you to do unusual things. He gathered 12 of the most obscure people. They said yes to him, and they changed the world. Say yes to whatever Jesus asks you to do, even if it's unusual. Looking in verse 6, nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim, and he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. Jesus was asking them to fill the jars with water, but Lord, we need wine. But you know what? Sometimes he asks us to work with water when we're praying for wine. Because we find the next letter in how we respond to Jesus. We value the wait while we work. Are you valuing the thing that he's asked you to do? It may be unusual. It may be obscure. Lord, you want us to fill all these jars with water, even though we need wine. Okay, Lord, we're going to do it. Sometimes you're praying out for wine, and God has you working with water. But you need to value the water because he's preparing you for the wine that he's about to pour out. You see, those servants, think about how long it took them to fill about 180 gallons. This wasn't one trip to the well, y'all. They strapped on their shoes, and they're walking back and forth to the well and to the jar. Maybe they even brought the jar to the well, and they're digging down in the water. And this is taking time. Meanwhile, the wedding is still going on. The bride and groom have no clue what's going on because he's always working behind the scenes, right? Because when we say yes to us, or when we say yes to him, he's always, always working for us. You see, there's value in the waiting. I've personally learned this in the past 4 or 5 years of my life. I was praying, God, I need new wine in my life. Lord, I need you to give me new wine. I know that there's something that you have inside of me. God, it's just kicking around. I'm ready. I'm willing to give birth. I am ready for this new thing. And God kept saying, no, I need you to go back to the well, and I need you to get some more water. And while I was working with the water, I learned so many lessons working with that water. And I was working with the water while I was preparing for my wine. I just kept going to the well. My well is Jesus. I kept going to Jesus. I said, Jesus, just fill me. Just fill me. I don't know why, and I don't understand, and I'll do whatever it is that you want me to do, God, because I know my wine is coming. You may not know when, you may not know how, but your wine is coming. I am standing here as a testimony to tell you that your wine is coming. You see, in this culture, this microwave culture that we have, sometimes we get frustrated in the work. We get frustrated in the wait. That's why Jesus is looking over and he's saying, are you valuing the waiting? Are you working in the waiting? Are you working when I'm saying, hold on, not yet. Hold on, not yet. Do you have your spiritual eyes open to see what lessons you're learning while you're working with the water? Value the wait while you work. You see, these servants, when they strapped on these shoes, I like to call these shoes of trust and obey. And I taught this in one of my ladies' Bible studies, but it really came from this message. We were talking about Cinderella and her glass slipper being lost, and how her and Esther had to walk in the shoes of trust and obey. Esther had to walk into that room where the king was, not knowing, was he going to hold out his scepter or was Esther going to die? She had to walk in the shoes of trust and obey, and they go together, y'all. Because if you don't trust them, you're not going to obey him. And if you don't love them, you're not going to trust them. If you don't trust them, you're not going to obey. They go together. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. And sometimes those shoes are uncomfortable. You ever had a new pair of shoes? You got to break them in. You got blisters all over your feet. You're not really sure. You might even want to shake them off every now and then. But there's something about the passion of the love that you have for Jesus where you just can't take those shoes off. And you say, Lord, I know I'm walking to the well. I know I'm walking to get some water, but I'm going to trust and I'm going to obey. And I'm going to trust and I'm going to obey. And soon enough, those shoes, you begin to break them in. And you might even begin to get a little swag, you know. They might even become your dancing shoes. Lord, I'm going to trust and I'm going to obey. I'm going to trust and I'm going to obey. Because when you're valuing that work, when you're trusting him with all you have, and you're obeying no matter how obscure it is, you know that your miracle is on its way. When we choose how to respond to him every day, he's working behind the scenes. I read something the other day. It says, your name is in rooms you haven't even stepped into yet. They are talking about you. They are using the word promotion for you. And you don't even know because Jesus is just stirring up something when you trust and when you obey. But you know, there are levels of trusting and obeying. You see, some of us, we come to church and we get all dressed up and we sit and we just want to be fed. We just hope that lasts us till the next Sunday. Lord Jesus, come on, let's make it last. Come on, Jesus. It would be kind of like me coming down the aisle to marry my husband, and I'm all dressed up, and I just stand there and stare at him. Oh, he's so cute. I'm just going to admire him. Okay, you ready to go get something to eat? But we never went through the vows. But when you say yes to Jesus, I want to be in a marriage covenant with you. You say, I'm going to give you my name because I want your name. And I'm going to give you my life because I want your life. When you say those marriage vows, something just changes inside of you. And you want to trust and you want to obey everything that they ask you to do. Though I may not obey everything my husband asked me to do, I do make sure it's aligned with Lord's word. But Jesus, my husband, you know what I'm saying? Anything, Lord. Yes, God, I will work with water for you. Because forget the water element. You're working for Jesus. It doesn't matter if you're working in the Sunday school, if you're working in the nursery room, if you're up here singing, if you're giving the sermon. It doesn't matter if you're greeting, if you're making the coffee. When you're working for Jesus, he says, I got some wine stored up for you. You just wait. You just wait. In Psalm 27, 13 and 14, it says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. You know, there was a time when my middle son was in the hospital with open heart surgery, and this was one of the verses that the Lord gave me. I kept saying, Lord, when are you going to heal him? because they told us we were going to be here for a week. And now we're a month into this. And he just kept bringing me back to this verse. And I had to believe it. And I had to say, Lord, I love you. And I trust you. And I obey you with everything that I am. And I will wait for you. And he strengthened my heart. And he strengthened my son's physical heart. And today we can say that we see the goodness of the Lord today in the land of the living. In Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Are you seeking him? Are you asking him what it is that he wants you to do? In Isaiah 40, 30 through 31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. You see, some people may call you a chicken for doing those things like working with water, but you know you're an eagle, and the Lord is going to allow you to soar on those wings. So while we're waiting, the word tells us that it produces character in us. It produces hope in us. It produces strength and courage. In that 5 years when I didn't know, Lord, what are you doing? It was building up hope in me, and it was building up strength inside of me. Because I knew that while I was working with him, that he was working on me. Don't you think it's kind of unusual? There were 6 jars and 30 gallons for each. He allowed me to do a 180 in my life. He was able to turn it around. No matter what you're facing, work with that water. He will give you wine and he will turn it around. Hallelujah. Picking back up in verse 8. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. Now again, these servants are like, Lord, you told us to fill these with water. And now you're asking us to take it to the master of the banquet. They could have easily said, I'm not getting in trouble for bringing this water to the master. Oh no, you can go ahead. Maybe you can bring it yourself. You see, when we say no to Jesus, he's just going to find somebody else to do what it is that he's called us to do. But the servants, they didn't question. They said, okay, you want us to bring it? We'll bring it. And they did so. Just those three words. Three powerful words in the Word of God. They did so. Don't you want the Lord to look at your life and say, he did so. She did so. They did so as a church. They did so as a body of Christ. They did so as a family. Because when you're walking in the shoes of trusting and obeying, the Lord knows everything that you need. Picking up in verse 9. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned to wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Could you imagine the servant's face? Oh my goodness, this is the shock, the awe. Does something ever pass in front of you and you go, whoa, Lord, look what you have done. I don't even know how I got here. I don't know how this even came about, but Lord, you did it. And it's because they trusted, they obeyed, because they recognized, because they valued working with that water while they were praying for wine. You see, here's the secret. When we wait and we work in our shoes of trust and obey, God reveals secrets to us that prepares us to receive our miracle. Though the master of the banquet didn't know where this best wine had come from, because see, he was just sitting back, relaxing, enjoying the party, watching people dance, having a good old time. But the ones who worked with the water, the ones who valued the wait, the ones who valued the work, they knew where the wine had come from. You see, people will see you and they'll say, Lord, I don't know why you got that joy. You got this wrong. You told me that this is happening in your life and you're facing this storm. I can't believe. People are not going to understand where the wine of your joy came from. But when you're trusting, when you're obeying, when you're proclaiming the promises of his word, you know that they are going to come to pass. And he reveals secrets to us in our life. And that allows us to take part in our P, the prepare to receive. John 2:10 through 11, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. You need to prepare your vessel for the best wine. You need to prepare that room for that baby that you're praying for. You need to prepare your bank account for that promotion that he's about to give you. You need to prepare your house for that husband that you've been praying for. Prepare your body for the healing that he wants to give you. Prepare your heart to believe that you are who Jesus said that you are. In John 10:10, it says, "The thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Not even halfway, y'all, of that jar. He doesn't want half of your life filled with his goodness. He wants it filled to the brim and overflowing so that you can live in the abundance of who he wants you to be. To receive the best. Because you know what? If he can turn wash water into the best wine, just imagine what he could do with you. How will you respond to the invitation from Jesus? Every day he's asking you. We need to recognize that Jesus is working on our behalf. Say yes to everything that he asks us to do. Value the wait while you work. Work with that water. Be diligent with that water. Thank him for that water, because you're going to prepare yourself to receive the best is yet to come. Do you believe it today? Stand up with me. If you could bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord, we want to RSVP your invitation today. We want to RSVP the miracles, the promises, the blessings that you have for us in our life today, God. Not tomorrow, because you haven't even promised us that, but today, God. So I ask you, maybe you haven't even come to the first step and even said yes to the invitation of Jesus. I don't want to leave this place without giving you an opportunity to say yes to the marriage, the covenant with Jesus. So if that's you, and you say, "I'm working with that water, but I don't know what to do," you got to say yes to Jesus. If you need to say yes to Jesus, just raise your hand, and we're going to pray. If you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I see your hand. I see your hand. I want everyone to pray this short prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I give you my life today. I make you the Lord and Savior of my life. Lord, I believe you died on the cross. Lord, I believe you rose from the dead. Lord, make me new today and be the Savior of my life. I welcome you into the kingdom of the Almighty God. And for the rest of you who have accepted Jesus and you're walking this walk, if you are ready to recognize and to say yes and to value and to prepare for your miracle, I want you to come down to the altar this morning. Are you ready to prepare? Are you ready to say yes to anything that he asks you to do? Are you ready to surrender? Are you ready to recognize that all of those things that are happening in your life are happening because he's working on your behalf? We thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands to heaven, and I want to pray over you this morning. Father God, it's with humbled hearts, Lord, that we just receive your word today, God. Lord, we thank you that you are working on our behalf. But God, we thank you for the work on the cross that you did, God, where you shed your blood that brings us forgiveness of sin and brings us salvation, Father God. And Lord, I pray that no matter what it is that you ask us to do, no matter how foolish we look to the world, God, that we would be a people who would rise up and we would say yes to Jesus. And that while we're working with that water, that we would value the weight, that you would be our strength, that you would renew us in the time where we don't know why and we don't understand, but we know the who, God. And Lord, with open arms outstretched, with our hands open to receive, we prepare to receive our miracle, Father. So Lord, bless your people today. Let your presence be carried in sight of them and everywhere they go, God, that as their feet of trust and obey hit the ground, that it would scatter the darkness that would attempt to thwart the plans that God has for them. Lord, raise us up to be mighty people of God, bold as lions to speak your word to those around us. And God, prepare us to receive the miracle. And I look forward to hearing what the testimonies that will come out of this place. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen and amen.